There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation or nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
7:03-4 something. Saturday morning. Hardy, Sarge here.
Not a bad impersonation.
I had a great impersonation.
That was good.
This week, earlier, Sarge. And that whole thing about mimicry being the sincerest form of flattery.
Yeah, yeah.
Not always the case.
No, not always.
Billy Lanny taking care of the everything else here today. As we get into the final weeks of the Sports Hub Golf Club, a little bit later this morning, a couple of conversations I had earlier in the season with two guys that I never got a chance to share with you. And one of them is from a golf course called Fox Hop Yard, and also Crump and Fox. We'll talk about both. Two phenomenal golf courses, one here in Massachusetts, the other in Connecticut. I got a chance to play Fox Hop Yard years ago, and I'll talk to you'll hear my conversation with him just so you can learn about these two golf courses, if because a lot of people don't know about them, and you should. And also a guy I talked to about golfing in Alabama. Which, you know, every state in the union seems like it's got something to offer golf-wise. I know from growing up in Michigan that there are phenomenal, world-class golf courses. I mean, everybody has heard of Oakland Hills and maybe one or two other tracks in the state of Michigan. But you get into, like, northern Michigan, I mean, like, jaw-dropping, fantastic, picturesque, wonderful layout golf courses that have been there not in the last 10, 15 years, for decades. You know, Nicholas designed courses and Robert Trent Jones, you name it. I know that Minnesota for a while had the largest number of golfers per capita in the entire country. Minnesota. And I never really got a good explanation other than I think don't think about it too much. It's kind of like what Ray Bourque has said on this program before, like why hockey players make such great golfers. He says, because we have our summers off. There's no other rhyme or reason to it. And in Minnesota, they really appreciate their summers. And they've got the land for it, and they've got the right mixture of water and woods and all that stuff to make great golf courses. So my point is this. Alabama also apparently has amazing things to offer in terms of a golf destination. You wouldn't think so. Georgia, sure. Louisiana, of course. Alabama, really? Well, talk to this guy here in a little bit, and you'll be able to hear for yourself. A few other things I want to get to. Number one, it's kind of an off week for golf as the Tour Championship doesn't happen until next weekend. Bryson DeChambeau from the Bayou. He's from California. He's your FedEx Cup favorite. Now, we saw him win at the Dell Technologies Championship. We saw him win the week before that. So, And again, FedEx Cup, God bless you. You have a playoff where you have four events. Some guy wins the first two, and it's based on points, and somehow he is not a dead sure lock to win the whole thing. But it's true. Four events, DeChambeau wins the first two, and apparently there are five players who can still win this thing. I'm going to talk about this for 1 minute because it will give me an ice cream headache. The FedEx Cup playoffs leaderboard was reset. DeChambeau has 2,000 points entering the fourth and final event. Top five all control their own destiny. Justin Rose, Tony Finau, who was the final pick for the Ryder Cup. I don't know if you saw that. Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas. If any of those five players win at Eastlake, they'll be crowned the 2018 FedEx Cup champion and win the $10 million. Did all these guys win two tournaments? Did all these guys win two of the four? Or did only one of them? Wait a second. Didn't Keegan Bradley win last week? Like, what the hell? So you can be a guy who wins two events and you can lose it to a guy who only wins one. Yes, Hardy, that is the case. So I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell Bryson DeChambeau if I'm with FedEx or with anybody who compiles these points. It's like, look, dude, bang up job on those first two tournaments. They really don't mean much. I don't know what kind of playoffs. I still don't know after all these years how it works, what it means. And of all the things we've talked about with the Dell Technologies Championship, formerly the Deutsche Bank, going away, the notion that it won't be part of the FedEx Cup playoffs at least next year, good. Give them a year to retool it, which they will be doing next year. Next year, the FedEx Cup playoffs is going to be a three-tournament format, and when it returns to Boston in 2020, it will be one of three of the FedEx Cup play. And I hope they retool this thing. I hope they just get it to a point where it's an actual real playoff, where you start with the top 100, and then you get down to 50, and then you put 25 guys out there for the third tournament, and whoever wins it, wins it. Can we just do it that way? Please. Forget about who wins the ones going into it. Give them a big chunk of money. You know, there's your prize. Forget about the points already. If you're going to do a playoff, do a playoff. Now, in terms of the field, it's always been a good one. And it will continue to be a good one next week. And I bring it up for this because the other major story in golf going on, which maybe you saw this last night, is a golfer by the name of, and bear with me on this, Tad Fujikawa. I don't know if anybody else saw this, and it just broke over the last day or so. Here's how it's being portrayed, and it is a really good story. Tad Fujikawa announced on Instagram that he's gay. Believed to be the first professional golfer while active to come out and say, yep, I'm gay. And he posted on Instagram, he put it out on World Suicide Prevention Day. He said, coincidentally, but I'm going to share this, even though it doesn't necessarily have to do with one or the other. He said, so I'm gay. Many of you already know that. Don't expect everyone to understand or accept me, but please be gracious enough not to push your beliefs on me or anyone in the LGBTQ community. It's a long post. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the major message of it is, you are loved and you are enough as is, exactly as you are. So maybe it makes sense that he put it out on World Suicide Prevention Day. And he closes with this. This part I want to share with you. I can't wait for the day we all can live without feeling like we're different and excluded, a time when we don't have to come out. We can love the way we want to love and not be ashamed. We are all human and equal after all. So I dare you, spread love. Let's do our part to make this world a better place. Tad Fujikawa, who came out on Instagram earlier this week. awesome message. I can't believe it's a conversation we have to have in 2018. I'm reluctant to even have the conversation. What's going to be next? You know, why do we still have to have this be a thing? But I'm not going to fight against the way of the world. It just is. I bring it up in relation to the field because this is going to be portrayed as professional golfer comes out at easy. Tad Fujikawa is a really, really good player. He's played in a couple of sponsor exemptions in at the Sony Open in his native state of Hawaii. Spent, I think he played five times in 2017 on the McKenzie Tour. That's the PGA Tour Canada. I mean, he won the Hawaii State Open last year. He's a really, really good player. But lest you think you've been living under a rock and you don't know who Tad Fujikawa is, once it comes out, like right now on the major network morning shows, they're talking about here's a major professional athlete announces that he's gay. Not quite. Tad Fujikawa is close, but I think that is in and of itself another positive sign. It didn't take somebody who's done with his career to come out afterward and say, by the way, I was gay all this time, and I hope this brings hope to everybody. Those people are very brave, too, to come out and open up and share it when they don't have to share what's going on in their personal lives, and I'm sure everybody appreciates it and wants them to do it. It's just nice to see somebody doing it before they really, really break open and become something approaching a household name as much as one can be in the sport of golf if your name isn't Tiger or Phil. So I hope for Tad's sake, A, for his career, that he continues to do well, and B, that he continues to do well so there can be truly like an A-list type of ambassador for people who feel like they don't have a voice. Somebody beyond Michael Sam. Someone beyond a handful of athletes who've been brave enough to come out while they're still playing and be able to be a voice for people while they're still in the spotlight. Tad's not quite in the spotlight yet, but here's to hoping he gets there. All right, there's one more story I want to share with you this morning, and that's about Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth, as we talked about a couple of minutes ago, in the Tour Championship, will not be participating in the Tour Championship. He didn't make the field. For the first time in his professional career, he is also facing a possible penalty from the PGA Tour. Now, it's no secret that I'm not a huge Jordan Spieth fan. I got to like him a lot better at the, I think it was the 16 Masters when he dumped a couple in Rays Creek on number 12 and showed that he was human after all. But the fact is, he did not play well enough this year to qualify for the Tour Championship next week. And now, he might be penalized by the PGA Tour for failing to play enough events as part of their field enhancement initiative. What they want to do is get top-tier players pretty much at every event. They don't want guys to skip the John Deere Classic, you know, across the board. They don't want sponsors like at John Deere have to charter a private jet to get guys over to the British Open like they have in years past just to get them to play in their events. So the PGA Tour says, hey, if you don't play in at least 25 events, including one that you have not played in the last 4 years, to kind of spread this around a little bit, you're going to get docked. I don't know what the penalty is, whether it's money, whether it's sanctions of some kind, but he didn't do it. Jordan Spieth could not get himself onto a golf course 25 whole times this year. Now, I know it's more than one round, and I know it's you know, about the pro-am day, and if you make the cut, you're there. But you're not digging ditches. You're Jordan Spieth, 25 years old, could not bring himself to play in more than 24 tournaments. Do you know how long the PGA Tour season is? It's going to start up again here in about another month, right after the Ryder Cup. It doesn't start January in Hawaii. It literally starts October, November. They do it for guys who are trying to accumulate enough wins, enough money, just trying to do something in order to keep their PGA Tour card so they don't have to bounce back down to the mini tours or Q School, which is barely even a thing anymore. Guys are just trying to avoid that hell altogether because that is literally the toughest way to go about doing it. We talked with Keith Mitchell about this back at the Dell. When I'm talking about Tony Romo was trying to go through qualifying school. He's like, dude, I didn't go through qualifying school. That is hell. You're trying to get your best game together on just, you know, two random days in the middle of the year, and that's what's going to make or break your career as a golfer? Hell no. Get some sponsor exemptions. Try and get some wins in South America. Get yourself out on tour another way. Get some top 10 finishes and get a PGA Tour card that way. That, I mean, you still got to be one of the top couple hundred players in the world to do it. There's just easier ways of going about it. But for Jordan Spieth to not get himself out of the golf course enough times to the point where he's now going to be penalized by the PGA Tour, he's not been dealing with major injuries. He's not been dealing with major meltdowns. He didn't even really have a bad year. There's a writer by the name of Joel Beal who wrote about this and said that 2018 is going to be looked on as a down year for Jordan Spieth. But if you really look at everything that he did, he had a pretty decent season by a lot of other players' standards. You know, he had a couple of, he had enough top, let's call them top 20 finishes, to put him in a category where other guys would be actually pretty happy to have as many high finishes as he did. He didn't win. He didn't get a major. He's had to watch his good friend Justin Thomas go and win more lately than he has, which it's going to be tough if you're going to stand by and root for your buddies all the time like these guys love to do. I imagine that's not fun for Jordan Spieth, or maybe it is. I don't know. Between him and Fowler and Justin Thomas, they're all just so happy when each other win. Maybe this will be a good thing in the long run for Jordan Spieth. Maybe it'll force him a little bit out of his comfort zone, get him to play some more tournaments that he might not ordinarily play. Heavens to Betsy, he might have to play 25 whole tournaments in the course of a year. Oh, my goodness gracious. How's a 25-year-old going to find the energy to play every other week? Oh, my goodness. Jordan, I hope you can do it, pal. I just sounded like Sarge. Nice going, pal. You didn't play enough. Now you're going to get sanctioned. Way to go, pal.
Not bad.
Thank you. But also, maybe it'll get him out of his comfort zone where he starts rooting for other guys, actively cheering on Justin Thomas when he comes down the fairway for a win. You know what? Actually, this kind of hurts me. This isn't as good as I thought it was. Until I start winning again, maybe I should calm down the cheerleading a little bit and just do a little cheerleading for myself and get my ass back out on the golf course so that I can make the tour championship, and that's so I can actually, I don't know, maybe make it through an entire PGA Tour season without being sanctioned by the tour because I didn't play in enough events. All right, coming up next, like I said, a couple of conversations I had earlier in the season, one with the gentleman from Fox Hop Yard and the Crump and Fox, and about golf in Alabama. If you're planning some fall or winter golf getaways, this guy's got some good ideas. We'll hear both of those next.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Joining us now in the Sports Hub Golf Club, a gentleman who I had a chance to tee it up with a few years back at Fox Hop Yard. It's Ronald Beck, who is now the Director of Golf Development. It sounds awfully official.
Well, it's really tied into a Grow the Game initiative, you know, try to bring more players to our club, but bring more people into the game, which in turn will help our club and other clubs as well.
Well, let's bring everybody up to speed. You and I got a chance to go around Fox Hop Yard as part of an episode of Golfing the World. The course is in Connecticut, and I got teased endlessly by my co-host on the midday show for saying, like, oh, it feels like you're in a different world because of the elevation changes in the woods and everything out here. But at Fox Hop Yard, it really does feel like you have gone a lot further away from Boston than just the 2 hours it takes to get there.
Yeah, it really is a unique property in that it's got a lot of different feels and looks to it, all within an 18-hole experience. And not something that, you know, you'll have a links course, you'll have a hilly course, you'll have a wetlands course, but you usually don't get all those in one round. And it's what makes it so special and unique.
Now, a lot of people know about Crump and Fox from just golf in Massachusetts and being on those list of courses that they would like to play someday. So let's talk a little bit about the ability to play. Are they both private courses? Are there any public availabilities for either course?
Yeah, I mean, the model for both of our golf courses is a high-end semi-private, so they feel like private clubs, but we definitely welcome visitors, and we make it easy for visitors to play and have that almost a private club experience once they're there.
And from what I witnessed when I was there at Fox Hop Yard, it definitely has that feel to it. And the golf course itself, I don't know how to do it justice. I don't know how to describe it. Sometimes it feels like you're in a northern New England course. Other times it feels like you're on a links-style course. How do you describe Fox Hop Yard?
I just say it's a golf course that has 18 holes. Each hole you play one at a time. It's like there's not another golf course, not another hole on the golf course. But there are unique feels that you go through six holes of hilly, six holes of wetlands, six holes of links. And then at the end of the day, you know, you've just played one great collection of golf holes.
So Crump and Fox has the distinction of being on a lot of these lists for best courses in Massachusetts. That's one I've never set foot on the property. So that one, I'm brand new. Tell me about Crump and Fox.
Well, Crump is a little more established than the Hop Yard, and it is a, it's not only highly regarded in Massachusetts, it's a nationally regarded golf course. It's a very strong, it is a difficult golf course, but it's a course that you come off, even if you don't have your best score, you still had a great day. And you appreciate the beauty and the architecture. And, you know, it's always in great condition. And it's worthy of the accolades that it's received.
Who were the designers of both the courses?
Yeah, Roger Rule, which actually did the design of both golf courses. Crump has the Robert Trent Jones name on it because he was involved with Roger Rule, which was one of the very last courses that Robert Trent Jones Sr. built. He was there for the ribbon cutting. I got to spend a little time with him. It's one that I know that he was extremely proud of as well.
And as far as Fox Hop Yard is concerned, because again, that's the one I've played. How do you describe the links feel that you get on the way in? I mean, to me, it's obviously not a links course because you're not on the ocean. We're in the middle of Connecticut. But you somehow manage to capture that feeling of having a little bit of wide open, some of the high grass out there.
Yeah, the links aspect wasn't something that we went in and sought. It just worked with the lay of the land. There was a pretty good-sized cornfield that we leveled. We took out, we dug a gigantic hole for our irrigation pond, which is in the middle of that, and we used that material to build the dunes, and then we planted the fescues on top of it, and it really wasn't, you know, there by design. It just is there because it fit, and it worked.
If people want to get more information on either Crump and Fox or Fox Hop Yard, is there one place to go for both?
Yeah, we do have a common website. It's under golfthefox.com, and there are links to both Crump and Fox and Fox Hop Yard. And the staffs at both places are well-versed on each golf course. But, yeah, you'd probably want to direct your phone call to the specific course, and we'd provide all the information that way.
Well, Ron, it's been a few years since you and I got a chance to tee it up at Fox Hop Yard, but looking forward to the opportunity to do it again. I hope we can.
Well, thanks, Hardy. You're always welcome at either of our golf courses, and we appreciate all you're doing for us.
Well, careful. I'll hold you to that. Thanks again. I appreciate the time.
All right. Thank you.
The Sports Hub Golf Club.
Back now in the Sports Hub Golf Club, I'm with Charlie McDonald, who's going to tell us all about golf in Alabama. I got to tell you, Charlie, I have never talked to anybody about golf in the state of Alabama before, so I am brand new to this.
All right. Well, state of Alabama, what has drawn so many people there is a project, 11 sites, 468 holes across the state, is funded by the state retirement system, and it's built for the people.
When you're talking about getting people to come down and play Alabama, there's all different kinds of places to go. Are you talking about getting retirees to move down there? Are you talking about tourism? What is it that we're going after here?
Well, naturally, there is a big draw. One of the greatest locations for retirement in the state of Alabama is Lake Martin. It actually has more miles of water line than any other lake in the southeast, and there is a big move there. But as far as golf tourism is where it's at. The number of people, if you look at about 10 years ago, Alabama was doing $800 million in tourism. Today, they're doing $11.2 billion in tourism. Most of that is contributed to golf, Talladega, to
college football.
That's right. The University of Alabama, Auburn University, all are big draws. But the golf is incredible. We play year-round. The site I work at, Capitol Hill, which is part of the Robert Trent Jones Trail, we're open 364 days a year. So as far as conditions, we have Canadians that think that January is the greatest season of golf in Alabama. We have Bostonians that come down and play. They love it. February's not bad. But starting in March, you'll find that the weather is in the 70s. It's good weather across the state. We always have sometimes a cold front come through, but pretty much great weather throughout the year. Two most popular times, April probably is the most popular, and the fall, October, during football season.
Well, I was going to say, by the way, this is Charlie McDonald. He's talking about golf in Alabama. Do people try and make like a weekend trip out of it, or maybe 4 or 5 days, or come in, try and do that bucket list football game, catch some college football in the state of Alabama, and play some golf at the same time?
That's right. You know, people want, initially the trail was designed, you know, that you go across the state and you play multiple courses. One of the problems, not a problem, but one of the drawbacks is you get so fatigued from moving from location to location. So what we're encouraging now is find one location hub, move out 45 minutes each way, see some more courses, come back to where you're staying in one location, and that typically works really well.
What people always want to talk about when you're talking about destination golf is what else is there to do when you're there? Let's say you're going down maybe with a few other folks and a couple of them don't play. What else is there to do other than play golf? And for the people who may not be playing at all, what is there to do?
Sure. Alabama, I mean, it's well known for civil rights movement, plenty of museums, that type of thing. Also, we have coastal frontage down on the beach, white sandy beaches, deep sea fishing. You name it, there's something to do. Some of the best bass fishing in the country is in Alabama. But it, obviously, Talladega races is a huge, huge draw. Barbasol Motorsports Park in Birmingham is a huge draw. As well as in northern Alabama, you have the aerospace industry, which has the Rocket Center in Huntsville.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff, I'm sure. Now, where do people go to find out more information, Charlie?
You can go to RTJ Golf. That stands for Robert Trent Jones. But RTJGolf.com is a site that has all of the Trent Jones Trail information. Also includes information about any tournaments that are held on the trail. We've held the Barbasol. We've held the Yokohama Women's LPGA, the Navistar Women's LPGA, the Mobile Bay LPGA, as well as a number of other events, Symetra events, buy.com events, that kind of thing.
And I tell you what, those Symetra tours that you can go and check out, it's some of the best golf you can go see because the galleries aren't huge. I take my young daughter to some of those events, and, you know, the players are just thrilled to have people there watching them and idolizing them, so you can catch some of that. But, you know, going down and playing, give me three courses that are must-plays in Alabama.
Must-plays. Ross Ridge in Birmingham, the third longest golf course in the world, plays about 8,300 yards if you play it all the way back.
What is it, a par 80?
No, it's a par 72, but, you know, you got to be able to hit the ball. And then second one, and probably the most popular, is the site I'm at, Capitol Hill. the judge course. Number one is a 250-foot drop down to the fairway.
That's tee box number one? That's the first tee shot you see of the day?
That's it. Yeah, that's the first thing you face. Golf Digest just ranked it as the third scariest starting hole in the world.
Scary just taking the cart down the hill.
Yeah, let water on the left, swamp on the right, 15 holes on the water. It's a great course. And then I would say Grand National, where the Barbasol PGA Championship is held, the Lakes course is a gorgeous course.
I didn't think there was that much elevation change in the entire state of Alabama. You got a 250-foot drop on the first hole.
Yeah, it's amazing. There, you know, from the south at the beach, you do have some flat land, but you get up in the hilly areas. There's some great courses.
Okay, one more time for the website for people who want to know more about playing and getting on that trail that you were talking about.
Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail, rtjgolf.com.
Very good. Charlie McDonald, Golf in Alabama. I think I'm going to check it out. I appreciate it, Charlie. Thanks.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
I don't need it.
I don't need it yet.
You know what we need? We need some help for the Red Cross. So many people displaced by the Merrimack Valley gas explosion. So you can help with a financial donation, and they do need it. 1-800-RED-CROSS. You text 90999, and that instantly donates $10 to the cause. So, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS if you want to make a donation of another kind. 1-800-RED-CROSS, or text Red Cross to 90999. And you make a $10 donation to everybody who's been put out by the Merrimack Valley gas explosions. I don't mean put out like, oh, boy, that really puts it. No, literally put out of their homes. Just a huge disaster up there. So let's all chip in and help. Thank you to the people who just joined us there, which obviously were not live here this morning. But I spoke with those gentlemen earlier in the season, both from Fox Hop Yard and the Crumpin' Fox, and the Alabama golf experience, which brings to mind something that I want to talk a little bit more about next week. We can start to get into it now a little bit. And even though I'm not a huge fan of the phrase bucket list, I think it's worth having the conversation about what is on the golf bucket list. A lot of people start making their trips for the, you know, their plans for the fall and for the winter. And this is when you do these things. You know, summertime is a little tougher, and a lot of golf destination places may not even be available to you in the summertime. One of them, which we've talked about here in recent weeks, is Shadow Creek, where Phil and Tiger are going to be playing their $9 million match on Friday of Thanksgiving weekend. But that course closes down for big chunks of the summer. Too hot, not good for the grass to have you walking on it. No, we're just going to close here for a while. And not that we could ever get on Augusta National, or I'd say it's a little tougher. You know what Augusta National does not long after they play the Masters?
What's that?
Shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Too hot. Well, I'm a member of Augusta National. I want to go play golf and then put on my little green jacket and sip mint juleps. And no, not in June, July, and August you're not going to. They might keep it open through June, but I don't know. They closed that course down for huge chunks of the year. Too hot. Not good to have golfers on the golf course.
And they probably close it like a few weeks before the Masters too.
Oh, it's closed for a significant portion. Believe me, if you want to play golf, right, Augusta National is not the club to join. Now, not going to be a problem for 99.999% of the people listening to this broadcast, and I will include myself. You know, I was thinking about either joining, getting the membership over at Ponky, or maybe just getting a membership down at Augusta National and moving down there. No, that's not the case. But in terms of a golfers type of club, like Oakland Hills, there are a lot of courses. Oakmont, Oakland Hills, Winged Foot, right? These are legendary golf courses where golfers belong or try to join and to play golf. Augusta National is really as much about the Masters every year and just being a member at Augusta National. Playing golf, at the actual golf course is not a big deal. It'd be a huge deal, but it's not. I don't think it's a big part of the membership experience, is what I'm getting at. Doesn't matter. I think playing Augusta National is like a bucket list if you're going to live to be 250 years old. I think we got to keep this in the realm of reality. Instead, I want you to be thinking about this, like I said, for next week. All right, we'll have more time to get into it then. But the notion of what is really at the top of your list. Is it a playing experience? Is it a visiting experience? And I'm back and forth on this one right now. What am I going to do? What is my, if I'm going to do one big golf trip, because what are you going to do? Plan one every year for the next 5 years and knock them all? You could, you know, if you're not concerned with, I don't know, saving money or making your mortgage payments or putting your kids through college. Yeah, you could do whatever you want. You can go buy a Maserati too. But if you're going to keep things in somewhat reasonable and responsible manner in the pocketbook, you're going to pick one thing to do golf-wise. Would you rather go to the Masters or do you want to go play that one golf course? For me, it's St. Andrews.
Me too.
I want to play St. Andrews.
I want to play the old course at St. Andrews.
Which do you want to do more, Ryan? Do you want to play St. Andrews or do you want to go to the Masters?
Oh, I want to play St. Andrews.
See, I think I'm with you. But I haven't decided yet. And we all have to decide by next Saturday.
And I know...
That's the deadline.
I know people who have gone to the Masters, and it's a great experience.
Phenomenal experience.
But I want to play. Going to a golf tournament is a lot of fun, but you miss so much. Like, if you actually want to follow the golf tournament and see what's going on and it's difficult to do when you're out on the golf course. I'd rather play. I'd rather get the experience of playing at a place where people have been playing golf for like 3,000 years, basically.
Okay, 3,000 is pushing it. I'm not playing during Stonehenge. But how long has Stonehenge been there? Probably longer than 3,000, I think. The Druids.
When the aliens came.
The Druids. All the little people of Stonehenge. Oh, how they danced. I think I'm with you, Ryan. I think I want to play and believe me, if I'm over there, I'm going to play other courses too. There's a great book called An American Caddy in St. Andrews. Oliver Horovitz, who happens to be related to Ad Rock, Adam Horovitz of Beastie Boys. You didn't make a big thing of it because he's got his own life. He's doing his own thing. But I think he got into Harvard, but he had like the year deferment. It's like you can attend Harvard, but next year, which is apparently a thing with some of these schools. So he had to take a year and went through something. And he enrolled at the University of St. Andrews, right? Went over there. And in order to do something while he was there, he didn't know anybody. He said, oh, I like golf. I'm a pretty decent golfer. I've caddied. I'm going to get a job caddying at the old course, which he started doing. And in his book, he talks about a lot of different stuff, but he said, there are other courses you should play there more than... I know you're going to go play the old course at St. Andrews, essentially is what he says. And a lot of people say, yeah, you're going to play the old course, but you have to play this one, and you're going to enjoy them more in terms of a round of golf experience. And I believe him. But I want to play the old course.
Well,
that's the one on the list.
That's the history. It's like you know the course already.
You know the course. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like if you're into golf, playing golf simulators or golf video games or any of that, watching the British Open every few years, like you know the course inside and out. You can stand there and go, I remember this guy hitting this shot. I remember this guy on the road hole, like banking it off the wall and, you know, kicking it onto the green. Like I want to be able to stand in one of those bunkers where it's 10 feet tall, 2 feet in front of you and go, I think I'm going to have to go out the other way.
Right. And just attempt one of those shots. You want to stand where Jean Vandeveld stood.
Right.
You want to stand there on the road hole on the tee box back where Daly hit it from and say, I can't believe that many years ago, right, using a driver the size of a hybrid,
he was able
to go over the wall there and go toward the... I mean,
I want to
like
put
that.
A dent in the side of that hotel you have to hit over on 17.
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it. So while I hope to do both, if I'm keeping things in check and I'm being realistic and I want to accomplish one in the next few years, I think I'm with you. But we're going to have this conversation at length next week. So be ready for it, okay? We'll come back to wrap things up here on the Sports Hub Golf Club. And once again, I want you to keep in mind the people there in the Merrimack Valley. I'll tell you one more time. Just text Red Cross to 90999. Make your $10 donation instantly or call 1-800-RED-CROSS. We'll be back to wrap up the Sports Hub Golf Club next.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nineteenth hole presented by Deep Eddy Vodka, authentic American vodka made in the heart of Texas. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly. I've never been there, but based on the photos I was just shown by Ryan Johnston, today's 19th hole is at the Raven Golf Club in Phoenix. Because I just want to play this golf course, and something tells me they have a picturesque patio. Oh, here it is. I'm looking at the pictures right now. Oh, yeah. That is a place, as long as we're talking about, as we get into fall here in New England, some destination golf, southwest, down south courses. We had our friend on from Alabama earlier in the show. If you're heading down to Arizona, you get to play the Raven. That's your 19th hole right there. Whew. That's a place to sit out on back and enjoy 19 shots of tequila, excuse me, Deep Eddy Vodka. And
they also don't close it because it's too hot. I think they pretty much keep that open year-round.
They've got that figured out. Same thing in New Mexico when I lived there. I don't remember any of the golf courses in New Mexico closing down, but where I was, it wasn't as hot as Arizona or Las Vegas or some of the other places where we talked about today. Augusta National just closes down for a while and it just gets too hot in the summertime. So like I said, be thinking for next week about your bucket list golf ideas. And what it is that you want to do. Do you want to attend a golf tournament like the Masters? And I think the Masters is going to pretty much have every other one beat. I mean, if you're going, if you're making the trip to Ireland, Scotland, England, wherever, you're gonna play while you're there. I don't know anyone who's gone over just to watch the British Open, because quite frankly, from a spectating experience, that looks, you've got even money odds on that being miserable, just in terms of the weather. So as long as you're going to be outdoors and miserable in the weather, you might as well be playing and get the full experience. So that's what it comes down to. What are you going to do? What's your golf? What is the one thing in golf that you want to do? Is it attend the Masters? Is it play a golf course? Is it something else we're not thinking of? So we'll do that next week. Also, I think Paul Gusbecking is going to be back on next week. He's going to yell at us for not doing enough stretching probably, but it's always good to have Paul on the show. All right, Ryan Johnston and Marshall Hook are here. No Mike Flynn once again. Gentlemen, I imagine we're going to be doing plenty of football, maybe some Red Sox here today.
Little of this, little of that. We'll talk about why the Bruins are in China. I'm sure many of you stayed up to watch that game at 2:30 this morning.
Oh, that's right. They played.
Yeah.
What was the final?
4-3 in a shootout.
I've heard it all.
Bruins are 1-0
in the headlines. There you go. I guess not being able to practice because the equipment bags didn't clear customs.
The NHL is so inept at everything they do. Like, how do you not have that taken care of before those guys are put on a plane to fly all the way to the other side of the world? I understand you're dealing with a government that is not probably the easiest to do business with.
How do you not send it over 2 months ago?
Well, the guys had to practice before they went. I mean,
you don't have like another, like you can't send over another set of skates and pads and everything else just to know that it's there. Like this never entered the equation. Like, you know what? This stuff may not actually get through in a timely manner.
It's unbelievable that both teams are the same thing. It's like they had to cancel a day's worth of practice in the middle of this circus because we can't get the equipment here.
When we at Channel 7 were covering the Olympics, the TV equipment had to be sent down more than 6 months in advance. So we packed everything. And then we're somehow still able to put on news, even though we had sent a whole, you know, crew's worth of equipment down south. 6 months ahead of time to Brazil.
The station that employs Marshall Hook and the traffic tracker had it within themselves to be 6 months out in front of this.
Because they were afraid that Marshall was shipping 30 pounds of pot to himself in China.
Wasn't me. Don't mess around with that, man. I've seen enough movies. Thailand? You think you're just sending some hash back?
What was that movie?
Big deal?
Was it Claire Danes and Broke Down Palace?
Well, that's Broke Down Palace, which I'm not as I'm thinking more of the Vince Vaughn Joaquin Phoenix film. What's that one called?
Oh, that one's ugly.
Yeah. That one went bad for Joaquin.
I mean, you can also talk about Midnight Express. You can talk about anything.
Yeah, but that was
Turkey.
Other part of the
I
world.
I understand that. I understand it's Turkey.
Whatever.
By the way, all you got to do is look around this building and find somebody walking around who seems to be, you know, $200,000 poorer.
Return to paradise.
Return to paradise. Yeah. Thank you, Ryan Johnston.
Yeah.
I don't know that this factored into the equation, but if it were me and I were deciding what to do about the 30 pounds of pot that got delivered here, I would guess that the person who is out that 30 pounds of pot probably in enough trouble without getting busted at work too. So they were
in enough trouble. How about like who's missing $100,000+?
Well,
like, I mean that's the biggest thing. That came to me.
What if it were fronted to them?
Oh, that would be trouble.
That's trouble.
But that's
now like you're gonna fire them on top of it.
It seems like if you're in that business, though, that's just kind of like, you know, comes with the territory. There's certain levels of acceptable loss.
They consider it leakage.
So, it's like breakage.
Leakage, my ass.
Are you suggesting nobody's reported to the front office as requested via email to claim the package as their own?
Please step forward. Oh, that didn't work? Huh, weird. All right, guys. Thanks very much, Billy Lanny. Thank you. Sarge with the headlines. Johnston and Hook up next.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club.